Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. Today's message is called Go the Distance, Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Life described by Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, is an endurance race. Not a sprint, but an endurance race. And there are a great cloud, a great number of witnesses. Now, I can interpret that in several ways. All of the witnesses that have gone before us that are aware of the church, but also all of the people in our lives that are watching us. You know, we have a marathon here. There are marathons all over the place. And there are always spectators at the marathon. And some of the spectators are at the very beginning of the marathon, some are in the middle, and some are at the very end to see who makes it. Years ago, when our church was located on the marathon route, we used to have a water station. And we would pass out water. It was an unofficial water station. But the marathon didn't mind that, the city. And so we'd have a water station. And we started out just with water. And then we realized, you know what? We can set our band up here. And remember that, Dr. Allen? We had live music to cheer them on as they came by. And so many, it was the only live musical point on the marathon. And so many of the runners told us that we just look forward to coming through here year after year. We'd do this. And it was just such a lift because we'd all be singing praise music. Such a lift. And it became such a popular point that the city incorporated bands into other marathon points after, I don't know when they did, but we moved from that location 5-6 years ago. But at that point, the last year we did it, there were other bands, city bands, secular bands along the route. They realized the importance and what a lift that was. Praise music really gets you going. So anyway, there are people, there are witnesses that are watching us to see if we're going to go the distance. I'm sure that when you first got born again, when you first got saved, your family, your friends, they weren't sure you were going to go the distance, were they? They weren't sure this was real. Maybe you had a history of trying various things in life, getting involved in various things, and they just thought, oh, this is just another phase they're going through, and pretty soon they'll be out of this phase and onto something else. But praise God, Jesus is not a phase, is he? Jesus is the real thing. So it's not, and we're still in it. But there's so many who haven't gone the distance. Many have fallen out. Now, I had a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to read it about falling out. The Word of God says, run to endure. Run to endure. Now, as I was meditating upon this, and I'm sure you can think right now of people that you know, people that used to be in pews around you, people that used to be in serving God in other churches that you attended, personal friends that have fallen away from the Lord. They didn't go the distance, did they? They, for some reason or another, were not able to go the distance. How come we are still here, going strong? How come, whether it was cancer 15 years ago in my life or COVID over the last 2 years, we're still here and we're still going on and we're still going strong? In the name of Jesus, there have been economic ups and downs. In fact, we've had some terrible economic things happen. You know, about, I don't know when that was, 2008 or 9. And I mean, where the bottom fell out in this community tremendously, and people lost their jobs, their homes, their businesses, lost everything. And yet we're still going on. We're still serving God. We've had the loss of people in our lives that have gone on to be with the Lord. Now that, well, one thing we know about that is we're going to see him again. But then there are other things that have happened. There have been various personal tragedies, and yet it didn't get us off course. We're still going forward in faith. I began to think, as I meditated upon this, of those who no longer value the presence of God. These are when people fall away. They no longer value the presence of God. No longer value the presence of God in their lives. No longer value the presence of God in their church. There are people who have drifted away and gotten involved in secular churches. Feel-good churches and secular churches where they're not challenged and they're not encouraged to walk by faith or walk in the Spirit or move mountains or believe for miracles or lay hands on the sick. They're just sort of just there to pass the time and to feel good. Or maybe they moved into a church like that because there was ability to do multi-level marketing, you know, or sell insurance or whatever. You know, any kind of those businesses, you need a lot of people in your life to be able to sell and to make your money. But there are people who have felt that the Word of God is no longer valid in their lives. They no longer cherish the presence of God's word. No longer meditate or speak the word of God. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. And that means speaking. When we got born again, we spoke to be born again. And there are people who no longer feel that that's a valid understanding to be speaking God's word on a regular daily basis and encouraged in church to speak the word of God. There are others that just don't think the church family is important anymore. They don't think that there are other things in life that they'd rather do, or they get roped into doing, and they think nothing of skipping out on church to do other things, whether it is with their job or their business, or with it's an avocation in their lives, things that they're doing in their lives other than their job. And it takes them out of church, and they could care less. They just, well, that's just the way it is. But I'm telling you, if you allow the devil to use good things, to take you out of church, he will. And he'll continue to do it over and over and over, and you'll miss more and more and more until you no longer value the family of God, no longer value the presence of the believers in church. And that's why I'm so thankful for all of those that are online in the various states, because you are still a part of the family, even though you're not physically here. As I thought about this, I wondered why. Why do people get to that place? And I never made the connection of the parable of the sower with this. And as I thought about this, I realized that the parable of the sower, I'm not going to go there and read through the whole thing because we know it's the sower sows the word. But what Jesus said about the words that didn't produce is apt to what I'm talking about today. The first one was the birds. And what the birds that devoured the seed, what that speaks to me is not just the fowls of the air and all of that, but time. Time devours the seed. Time. How rushed are we these days? We have such little time for anything anymore because our time is taken up with 24-hour online environments, 24-hour news cycles, 24-hour work cycles. You know, I noticed a number of neighbors who used to go to the office before COVID and then during COVID began working from home, and it doesn't look like they're going back to the office. Looks like they're just going to work from home from now on, because here we've been open up for a couple of years. By the way, I get my weekly COVID report from Alexei, who works at the hospital, and he says the ward continues to shrink. Now, you explain that to some of the states of the north, how we're open, wide open for over a year, and yet our COVID is shrinking, and yet there are some places that are mask mandating still and still not out of phase two, and COVID is expanding and growing. One of the reasons, by the way, that I believe that it's shrinking especially fast now is that the northerners have gone back north during this time. It was when they were down here that it was really spreading. And they've kind of go back, they're back north. And I don't know, something about southerners. What it is about southerners? Must be the sweet tea. I think that's what it is. We inoculate ourselves with sweet tea, and that keeps the COVID away. I think that's what it is. Can I get an amen on that? All right. And anyway, back to serious things. Time. Time devours the word of God. Time devours the seed. Before it takes root, time steals it away. We get rushed. We get anxious. We get stressed. Stress is because of time. Many times when you're stressed, it's because you don't think you're going to have the time to do what you need to do, to be where you need to be. You're not going to get there on time. You're not going to accomplish it. And that causes stress. And again, it's a time thing. Time will steal the peace of God. Time will steal the presence of God. Time steals the word of God. So there are many people who just don't have time for God anymore. They don't have time to come to church anymore. They're too busy doing everything else they're doing in their lives. And I'm not saying they're in sin. They're just doing good things, but the result is the same as if they were in sin. So what good is it? We need to make time for God, make time for God's word. It doesn't mean that you can't ever go on vacation, that you can't ever work and miss a service. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when it becomes a consistent lifestyle, a consistent habit. That's when it becomes an issue and a problem. And when we put our foot down and say, no, we will not work, we will not be distracted on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Tuesday evening, and Thursday evening. Now, yeah, we have four services a week, so you've got four to not be distracted from. But there are people who have been for 2 years now at every service, all four services a week, because each one is a unique service. Each one is a unique message. So we thank God that we have doubled the output of the Word of God. So what the enemy meant for evil with COVID, we've turned into good. And we have doubled God's word going out because of it. So that's the first. The second thing is the heart. You know, when the roots don't go down deeply because of the stony ground. And that means that their heart just isn't in it anymore. Someone who falls away, their heart's just not in it anymore. When anybody who runs a marathon, they get to a point where they're just not in it anymore. They're just to that place where, why am I doing this? Why am I putting my body through this? Every muscle is aching. Every bone is rebelling against what they're doing. Their mind is telling them, just stop. You're crazy. You're nuts. You're not going to finish. Yeah. And it takes someone whose heart is in it to break through that wall. In fact, they call it hitting the wall. And once you break through, there is something that happens. I know most of you would not know it, but it's called runner's euphoria. And it's when the endorphins kick in. Now, I don't know. I haven't gotten to that place ever, I don't think. I mean, when I was probably in high school, I used to run. I might have. But it's probably been 50 years since I ever experienced runner's endorphin. But I'm sure some of you do every day. I know that. But I can just see by looking at you that you experience that on a regular basis. But in order to get to that place, you get to this place where you're hitting the wall, where your mind is telling you, just quit. And the same with the things of God. This is an endurance race. And sometimes our mind is telling us, what's the point? Just give up. Just be like everybody else. Why put yourself through this? Why get up on a chilly morning and go to church? Why move from your bedroom to your living room and hook up with the online service? It's too far to walk. Why go through that? I know none of you did that. But the heart's not in it. And the people who have fallen away from the Lord, their heart's not in it. They're not in it for the long, long haul. There are some people that got saved and, you know, they joined a church. And I know you probably don't hear this, but I hear this often. Oh, I found my church. I just found my church. Oh, man, God led me here. And this is the place for me. And we never see him again after that. What happened? Where did they get raptured? Did they go and I missed out on it? What happened? You know, I've heard that more than once. It's amazing. And you just wonder about that. Now, if you see dripping, anybody who's visiting, it's condensation. We don't have any leaks here. It's condensation of a chilly morning, and it condenses up on the inside of the roof and comes down through here sometimes. So that's, if you see a drip, don't get too distracted. I'm already distracted enough seeing the drips and thinking what you're thinking about the drips. So, but my heart's in this message. When our heart's in it, when our heart is in it, we are going to see it through. When our heart is in it, we are going to, hey, talk about seeing it through. I'm trying to preach on Thursday, and Pastor Jeff, he's just doing his thing back there. And I'm trying to preach this message. And, you know, and Connie is there. Come back, come back, come back. And Pastor Jeff is out. And I knew that we needed to pray. So we just said, hey, look, everybody, stay with us. We're going to just pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, it's live. we're broadcasting, so I stay here. And I'm like, Rob, come on over here, because I knew Rob was a police officer, knew CPR. And then everybody starts running and getting ice and doing all kinds of things to help him. And I didn't have to, I didn't leave the pulpit the whole time. I'm just staying here praying in the Holy Spirit. And so everybody was praying in the Holy Spirit, and Pastor Jeff came back, praise God. Not only came back, but he came back to church. He's here today, so hallelujah. Yeah, that was a pop quiz, all right. But the people who fall away, their heart's just not in it. Their heart's not in the church. Their heart's not in the things of God. Their heart's not in the kingdom of God. They jumped in, maybe emotionally. They jumped in because they got moved by what they heard or they saw. But they didn't have the stick-to-itiveness. They didn't have the staying power, the lasting power. And I'm telling you, when the first time, most of you don't know this, but the first time when Pastor Marybeth and I came to South Carolina, we had a church in Washington already, and we came down just to visit. And the weekend we were visiting, the people that were supposed to preach didn't show up. They didn't have a pastor. They were trying to find one. So they asked us to take the service. We took the service. Everybody wanted us to stay. And we said, no, we just started a church about 6 months before. But we came back and did a seminar, soul-winning seminar, Labor Day weekend. And then we went back up, and everybody asked us if we would stay, and we said no. And they said, well, would you pray about it? And I said no, because I already have a church. And then, you know, later on, I'm going about my thing up in D.C., and the Lord says, hey, I have a question. What about that? You don't need to pray. What was that all about? And I said, well, Lord, what? We got a church here. What do you want us to do, both? And he said, yes. And I said, oh, really? Well, let me see how we're going to do this. And anyway, that was the beginning of it. So the church had about 60 people. It was a storefront, about 60 people in it. And everybody was vying for their person to come be the pastor. And so when we were announced as a pastor, about 30, 35 people left. So here we are now. We come to be a pastor of a church, a storefront, with about 20 to 30 people in it. And then we find out, as soon as we get there, that the church had television. The former pastor had a big television ministry, and there was $100,000 worth of TV equipment back then. That was pretty big. And I said, so where's the equipment? Oh, it was sold to another church. I said, oh, okay. So they said the only problem is that the down payment check bounced, and they haven't made another payment, and they're telling everybody that God gave them the TV equipment. I said, really? Okay. And then I find out that the church owned, I don't know, 40 acres, you know, in the middle of nowhere, and had paid this huge sum for it, and it was only worth like a quarter of what they paid for it. And so had to deal with all of this, no income, all this debt, and it really took stick-to-itiveness to get through that. But one by one, we got through each of the things, got our TV equipment back. We didn't sell the property. We gave it back to the people who stuck the church with it.
You've got to tell just in one sentence about the land and the TV equipment. This is beyond the wisdom of the Lord, what we did.
Well, we gave it back. We gave back the land. We found something in I can't remember the details of it now, but it was a detail in which the people who sold it to the church had just bought it for a quarter of what they sold it to the church for, and they still owed on it. So we just gave it back to them because they never paid for it. We found this way, and we could give it back. We got out of it, but we didn't foreclose. We just gave it back. We said, we don't want it anymore. Here, you can have it. And it was a faulty contract that they wrote, so that's how we were able to do that. The TV equipment, we sent somebody up there. Is that what you're talking about? We sent somebody up to the other church on a midweek meeting, and the church, the pastor was there, and he's preaching, and he saw the guy from our church, and he said, let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. And next thing you know, he headed out. He got out. But the church declared bankruptcy to keep, the bankruptcy judge threw our equipment out. It was not a part of the bankruptcy because he said, you never paid for it. It's not yours. It's actually this other church. So we were able to go get it all back at no problem. We got it all back because they went into bankruptcy. So is that what you wanted me to share? Okay. So, but I'm telling you, you got to stick with it. And then we had some of those people that stayed with us. One of them, I remember a young guy came to me and said, Pastor Frank, I'm going to go to this other church. I said, oh, okay. Is there something wrong with what we're preaching? Or no. I love the message. I love it. I visited this church with a friend, and the pastor prophesied over me. and said that I had this great ministry and a great future, but I had to stay there to fulfill it. I thought, I could prophesy like that. I could do that. I could have a word for people like that. That works. I never did, though. But I'm telling you, with things like that going on, you got to stick to it. And we stuck to it, and we started praying. And we were praying like now, the way we're all praying 15 minutes a day minimum for, and praying through the zip codes. This is week 4 for the zip code prayer, which means we're praying for all the states, zip codes that are with us online, people to get saved in all those states. And anyway, all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, we had a new members class, like 44 people joined the church. And that was the beginning of a run up to 1,000, over 1,000 people that we had a mega church. This is, I'm talking 30 years ago. So back then, that was a mega church. It was about 1,000, 1,100 people. And it was just exciting, but it was through prayer and sticking to it. This is what we all need to learn to do. Stick to it. Stick with God, stick with the Word, stick with the church, stick with the church family. It's absolutely essential that we do that. Now, the third thing that happened is that there were the cares of life, right? The thorns. And that's too busy for God. Too busy to serve, too busy. Too busy to finish the race. You get busy, you get too busy. You can't finish, you can't do it, you can't stay. Because you got all this other busy stuff going on in life. Jesus said it like this: seek the kingdom third, fourth, when you get around to it, with your leftover time, first. Now, I don't need an interpretation for that. It's the same in Greek, it's the same in English, and any other language you translate that into. Seek the kingdom first. Now, that speaks to me that that is priority. That's the priority. No, this is not a priority. No, that is not a priority. No, this good work is not a priority if it takes me out of church. No, this issue is not a priority. This phone call is not a priority. Seek the kingdom first. That's the priority. And then he says, all other things will be added unto us. That's the first time I did that. I usually do it with candles and fire, but I just did it with water. I'm prepared for the candles. Yeah, that's a lot of condensation. No, I just spilled my, those of you that are online, I spilled my water glass. I'm ready for the fire now. If we want to do any candles now, we're good. Because if I knock them over, they're going to go out when they hit the floor. No, it's more than that. Don't worry about it. We'll get it later. Thanks. We need a towel. Yeah, we need a towel. Anyway, I feel like I'm preaching on a boat. Amen. I am walking on water. There you go. Thank you, Joey. Now you can officially say your pastor has walked on water. It's by running the race with endurance that you get to this place where you can walk on water. So when someone's in a race and they can't finish, there are certain things that are the reason. First, poor physical training. If someone's not trained for that race, if someone hasn't trained, if someone hasn't, you don't run a 26-mile race. Thank you, Pastor Mary. I've just thrown them down here. You don't run a 26-mile race just by getting up one day and saying, you know what, I'm going to run a 26-mile race. You just don't do it. You've got to train for it physically. And the same thing with running this race. Paul says, I run the race. Running this race, we need to train ourselves. We train ourselves to get up. We train ourselves to pray. Physical training. We train ourselves to pray in the Holy Spirit. We train ourselves to hold our emotions in check while we're waiting for the mountain to move, while we're waiting for the prayer to be answered. We train ourselves to get rid of doubts, get rid of fear, to overcome and overwhelm fear by our faith. We train ourselves to hold on to the Word of God, not let it slip away. We train ourselves to bring every thought captive. So it's physical training. We physically train ourselves to be obedient to the Word of God, to be disciplined. Discipline is physical training. Discipline to read the Word of God. Discipline to meditate in the Word of God. Discipline to pray the Word of God. Discipline to speak the Word of God. It is a discipline training. Any good team that will win games because they're disciplined. The more disciplined a team is, the better shot they have of winning a game, even if they are not as good as their opponents. If they're better disciplined, they have a chance of winning. So physical discipline. Secondly, poor mental training. If a runner is not mentally trained, they get to that place where they hit the wall and they give up. They quit. They fall to the side. They sit down. They take themselves out of the race. We are not going to take ourselves out of this endurance race. We are going all the way with God. At least I'm going all the way with God. I believe you're going all the way with God. We're not going to be sidelined. We're not going to be sidetracked. We're not going to fall out with mental exhaustion. We make sure our minds are the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is also a disciplined mind. The mind of Christ is one that takes control, not control of the body. The spirit is in control of the body, but control of the emotions, control of the thoughts. You don't think weak thoughts. You don't think give up thoughts. You don't think quit thoughts. You're not a quitter. You're a winner. You think winning thoughts. You think overwhelming, overcoming thoughts. You think victorious thoughts. You don't go into the battle thinking there's no way. You go into the battle knowing you've got the victory. No matter how big the Goliath is, no matter how strong the mountain is, no matter how wide the army is, you know you go into that battle knowing that with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, you've got the victory over every spirit of darkness, every power of darkness, every sickness and disease, and every circumstance that would come against you to slow you down. There's others. Other people may have a defect in their body that they didn't know about. Or it could be a defect and suddenly they get a cramp. Suddenly something happens to their knee. Suddenly something happens to their breathing or to their heart and they've got to fall out. They've got to get out. Well, there are no defects in the body of Christ. The body of Christ that is well fed by the Word of God, well exercised by speaking the Word of God, is strong in faith, strong in health, spiritual health. Our body is strong. We have a head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us have things that we are to do. We have anointings. Every anointing varies. We have the general anointing from the pulpit, and then we each have our personal anointings. And as we use those anointings together, that's when the body works together, fitly joined together. When the Word of God says that, it means the body's working. The body's not a misfit. It's working, working together to accomplish the will of God. Another reason that someone might be injured, they're running and they might hit a stone and twist their ankle, so they have to fall out. They cannot continue the race. Well, praise God, if somebody falls, God raises them up. If you're injured through sin, God forgives. If you're injured through physical activity, God heals. No matter what it is, He's got the answer. He raises us up, lifts us up. If we have the will, He has the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But we need to have the will of a champion, the will of a winner, the will to go on. We are going to run this race with patience, and we are going to see it through. We're going the distance. It's not too far. It's not too long. It's not too hard. It's not too uphill. It's not too downhill. We're going to go the distance with God. We're going to finish our race. We're going to see the finish line, and we're going to see the victory of God. Others may be a distraction. They fall out of the race because of a distraction. That distraction may not come during the race. It could be before the race. They may be distracted and unable to train the way they should. They may be distracted and unable to have the mental attitude the way it should, the mental focus. And when the crunch time comes, they fall apart. Do not allow distractions. If the enemy can get you distracted, he will present a myriad of distractions in your life. Every time you turn around, there'll be something to be distracted by. Make sure you're not distracted by sin, not distracted by alcohol, not distracted by tobacco, not distracted by porn, not distracted by any of the things that would try to get our eyes away from the gospel. Each distraction is to get our eyes away from the gospel, which takes our eyes away from the finish line. If we get our eyes away from the finish line, we look at other destinations and we head to those destinations. We want to head to the finish line.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.